got a lot tied up inside. Got Jesus on your mind. And a boy that just won't fight. Baby, it's a grind. And this your bitter light. Where nothing just won't do. The girl pleads. The woman needs a wedding ring. That bird won't sing.
Tavarishes. Hello and welcome to This Conversation Rocks. This is Diane. I'd like to say that we are sponsored this week by Pravda and Kompromat.
What is it? There's no news in truth, and there's no truth in news.
Absolutely. What was it? Novestia? Was that the other?
No, Investi.
Novesti?
Investi, I think. Yeah, maybe Novesti, something like that.
I think it was Novesti, but those are the two. Those were the two news agencies in the Soviet Union. Pravda, which is truth, Novesti, which was news. And yeah, there's no Novesti. Truth in news and no news in truth.
Yeah. In other words, brought to you by U.S. Today. USA Today. Happy news for happy people. By the way, this is still Todd in Los Angeles.
At the Diana in Alaska. Oh, God, it's been a hell of a week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. During which we laughed, we cried, we threw our televisions out the window.
I did a lot of knitting, so I wouldn't cry.
Did you catch the farewell speech?
I had it on. I will be honest and say that it didn't particularly hold my attention. Yeah, I was hoping for something a little more earth-shaking.
Yeah, the victory lap in the face of Armageddon is kind of...
That's an excellent descriptor. Yeah, I think I'm going to steal that. I like that.
Meanwhile, Trump proved once again that anybody control him. Meryl Streep? Really? You're worried about what Meryl Streep's saying about you? I mean, I love her. She's right. My hero after that, but seriously.
And I have to say, calling Meryl Streep overrated, he can't even troll back with anything right. Clever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I just want to say, Donald, you're the president of the United States. If you can't shake off somebody calling you a little whiny bitch, you probably want to think about getting out now.
Yeah.
Because trust me, sir, a lot worse things are about to be said about you.
Well, and I just have to say, trolling John Lewis, big backfire, bigly.
What the fuck was that all about?
Well, so Lewis went on Meet the Press and told Chuck Todd that he thought that Donald Trump was not a legitimate president. And that was not entirely the context of the comment. I don't have it up in front of me, so I can't elaborate, but it was not entirely the context. And, you know, Lewis basically said, it's going to be very difficult. I will try to work with him where I can, but I do not see him as a legitimate president.
Because he didn't win the popular vote?
I think even more so because of the things that he continues to espouse.
Well, unfortunately, espousing racist, petty bullshit isn't actually one of the criteria for being the president. So, I hate to say he is legitimately
sort
the
of
president.
in as much as we can have legitimate presidencies in the U.S., which we are going to talk about today, but I will say that Donald Trump's Twitter attacks on John Lewis backfired bigly. because John Lewis's books have sold out at Amazon. Literally, the number that I heard.
It's quoted, like better. It's like better than being on Oprah's book club.
It is better than being on Oprah's book club. And the number that I literally heard was that his sales increased by 100,000% or 100,000%.
Okay, so I just want to say, at the real Trump, Atterbury Group is threatening to move to New Zealand unless you give me something.
Good day, mate. Oh. Oh my God.
Damn it, we're serious. I mean, seriously, if I was any manufacturing company in the United States right now, I'd be like, yeah, we're moving. Sure, anywhere. Yeah, Antarctica. Yeah, we're going there.
Well, you know,
what are you going to do about it?
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because that has certainly been the argument, that having little press conferences to placate Carrier or an auto group here or there is going to eventually lead to a lot of corporations threatening to bail and expecting some sort of placation in return.
Yep.
So what else has lit your hair on fire this week?
Well, I gotta be honest, automation continues to be something that concerns me. We are going to be putting lots and lots of people out of work here in the coming generation.
You know, we talked with Bob about that quite a while ago, and I think the thing that people are not getting, and I don't want to generalize and say Trump voters, but I do want to generalize and say Trump voters, is that, you know, your job is not coming back. Your job is going to be given to a robot or a computer. So you better figure out some other way to work.
Right, but I mean, I'll take it even further, right? The Democrats pushing $15 an hour minimum wage is actually just accelerating the pace of automation. So these people that you think you're helping by giving them $15 an hour, you're really going to be giving them $0 an hour here shortly.
Man, how do we solve that?
Well, that is a really good question.
And I know that we kind of talked about it at one point, but probably something we need to revisit, right?
Yep, we'll need to be revisiting that. But hey, by the, you know, Tesla, SpaceX, Elon Musk, right?
Elon Musk, yeah.
Elon Musk, right? He's totally for that. For the, you know, you're just going to have to pay a wage, you know?
A living wage, regardless of what.
Yeah,
a basic living wage for everybody. Ooh, that would light the people on my Facebook page on fire.
Well, because let's be honest. And this is a problem, you know, it's being accelerated by business, but of course that makes sense. Business is in the business to make money. It's being ignored by the both parties. I think, you know, both sides are just so completely far off and wrong on all of this. You know, the Dems are like, oh yeah, we just pay everybody more money. That's not going to work, guys. You know, and the Republicans are basically, oh, you don't want to work? Fuck you. Right, which of course is also not the truth.
Right.
But the problem is that these jobs are going away.
And we're not preparing people for jobs that may be available.
Right.
Yeah, driverless trucks, driverless cars. Yep.
You know, Bob and I were talking last night, and he had just finished reading a paper. And, you know, basically 49% of all positions in America can be automated.
That is really scary. I'm really glad that mine isn't one of them, because mine really does require a brain, damaged as it is.
Well, and I would just say, you know, that's exactly what we all say is, oh, yeah, well, mine requires a person, right? It, you know, someday it might not, right?
Right. Hopefully not while I'm still walking on this planet, but... Right. God.
But, you know, so, yeah, I got some concerns about that are not going to be addressed by any of the nonsense going on with, you know.
Either side, let's be honest. Either side, yep.
Yep.
So, my hair got lit on fire this week, by so many things, but I would have to say the 12 Democrats who crossed party lines and voted against Bernie Sanders' legislation to allow people to purchase drugs from Canada.
Bought and paid for by Big Pharma.
No doubt. And the rationale that was provided was, well, you know, we just really want to make sure all these drugs are really safe. And the FDA is...
Canada.
Right, right. And the FDA, that's our way of making sure that everything is really safe. And they have to approve these drugs and blah, blah, blah. And I actually posted to a friend of mine who's Canadian. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You Canadians don't give a shit about safe pharmaceuticals. Not one bit.
Oh my God, because I just want to state again that fuck,
I know
we're not talking about I'm going to Haiti to get my fucking medication. It's Canada,
and let's be honest, with the influx of American aid to Haiti over the last few years, you might actually get good medication with a better price.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
No, it's just unfathomable to me. I actually had a patient say to me before I left private practice that he pays something like $90 for a 3-month supply of, I want to say it was something crazy, like one of the really expensive cholesterol drugs, if he goes through Canada, and it's like $300 a month here.
Yeah.
But apparently his Canadian drugs are not safe.
Right.
His cholesterol panel did not bear that out.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the thing, right? You know, nor if you're going down to Mexico and buying, you know, I mean, because there's lots, you know, again, plenty of legitimacy in Mexico.
I'll tell you what, brother, I'm loading up if Nick and I go to Mexico.
Why don't you guys just take a weekend and go over to Canada?
Because Canada's not nearly as warm.
Well, go down to Victoria.
It's 9 freaking degrees at my house right now. I'm looking for a little warmth.
Yeah, okay.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, so...
We should all go to Victoria.
Well, I've got bigger fish to fry, man. I got to hook up with you at some point. I got to do Walker Stalker Con at some point. There is one coming up in Portland. And I need to go on a retreat.
Okay, well... I'm going to Cuba.
Nick did say, you know, we could go to Cuba. That would be a nice place to get warm.
Yep.
Although the Trump administration may overturn all of the progress that we just made with Cuba, so I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
Oh, fuck it. I'll go to fucking Haiti first. I don't give a damn.
All right. So this week I asked you if we could talk about Citizens United.
Absolutely.
And you said to me today,
why did you want to talk about Citizens United?
And, you know, my immediate response is kind of, I don't know. But there are a couple of things. You know, there's 3 things, really. Yet again, it's one of those buzzwords that gets thrown around that I feel like I don't know nearly enough about. And, you know, frankly, I'm using all of you as my opportunity to become more educated. I've been interested in the Wolf Pack, which is a group that Cenk Uygur has been behind, because their stated purpose is to overturn Citizens United. So I kind of wanted a chance to explore that and talk about that a little bit. And then you had mentioned that you really felt like one of the places where we could potentially make a difference was the Supreme Court. So I was thinking about Citizens United and how the Supreme Court basically threw the average person under the bus with that decision. And it just kind of all congealed into this messy thing that we're calling our second podcast of the year.
Okay.
What about you? Why did you agree? Because I said I wanted to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think kind of the most interesting thing, I'm just going to launch right into it, is that I actually learned, like, the history of Citizens United, actually, as the name and the group that was behind the court decision. And I thought that was really fascinating.
Well, why don't you tell us?
Well, so Citizens United is actually a group. It's a nonprofit advocacy group, conservative group, that made a movie.
Total grassroots thing, right? No AstroTurf here.
I don't know. I didn't dig that far. I probably should have digging further, but, you know, girl can only digest so much. But they made a movie called Hillary the Movie, which was apparently a really profoundly anti-Clinton movie, right? Go figure. We're really surprised by that. There was an article in the New York Times that was published right after the decision was made, and they interviewed a law professor from Stanford, and she basically said, a minor and quirky case about a movie that almost nobody had seen. That's how she was describing what ultimately became the Citizens United decision. And so what actually happened was this group wanted to air this movie and advertise the movie right before the Democratic primaries in 2008. And doing that actually violated federal statutes preventing any kind of airing and advertising of this kind of politicking directly before an election. So I kind of dug back through that, and there are FEC rulings, Federal Election Commission rulings, that prevent that kind of obvious politicking by corporations in the media right before general elections and primaries, specifically if they're to elect a federal position. They didn't really say anything about what the timing was, which was really interesting. It was just, you know, shortly before. I kept getting all these references shortly before. So I dug a little further, and back in 2004, there was a similar complaint filed about Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
And the complaint was that they should not allow the movie to be aired 30 days before a primary or 60 days before a general election. And at that point, the FEC dismissed it. And they did go ahead and allow Fahrenheit 9/11 to be aired freely. So I thought that was interesting, first of all, because, I mean, I love Michael Moore, but that was a plainly partisan movie. So I thought it was... Well, what?
Yeah, because it's Michael Moore.
Right. But I thought it was really interesting, in all fairness, that there would be this dramatic change that, you know, we would allow this clearly partisan movie to go forward, which unfortunately made no impact anyway. But then,
as most clearly partisan movies,
right?
Do.
And really, honestly, would the Hillary the movie have made any significant impact either? Probably not.
No, because honestly, I've never heard of it.
Right, and I hadn't until I was doing the digging for this podcast. So this movie, the corporation Citizens United that made this movie, sued the FEC and basically said, you have to allow us, it's free speech for us to be able to go ahead and promote this movie and show this movie before the election.
And I would agree with that, right?
Well, and the FEC ruled against them. So that's how it ended up in the Supreme Court.
Jesus, because honestly, if you want to spend your money and put out propaganda, who am I to tell you you can't?
Well, so, but here's the really interesting thing. So the same law professor that they were interviewing in the New York Times basically said that they took a really small potatoes case, and because it was a 5-4 conservative majority in the Supreme Court at that point in time, because it was before Barack Obama had any of his appointees, they broadened the scope and made this right. huge thing that we now call Citizens United.
Right. The court could have gone with a narrow interpretation for it and chose not to.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is, and I didn't really know this, and I still am not sure that I totally understand this, so talk me off the ledge if you can, but it sounds like that before Citizens United, before that ruling, the Supreme Court was pretty conservative, and I don't mean conservative in the political sense of the word, but just in terms of cautious about making big rulings like this. And they really were very careful about allowing corporate money to be speech. So when they ruled in favor of Citizens United, the Supreme Court actually reversed decades of precedent that they, in fact, had set.
Actually, but it's one interpretation. There's another from what I was looking at, that there was really only one case, the Austin case, about 7 years before that, that was a game changer. And basically that was really what was set aside, and only that.
Well, they also cited McConnell versus the FEC, and I've got to be honest and say I didn't dig into that, but it sounds like it had a similar impact as Austin, that basically it was, we're not going to allow big corporations to have free influence with their money.
Well, I mean, during the Nixon administration, that's when you had the restrictions put in place, right? And Congress put the caps on corporate and personal spending on campaigns. And there were some challenges, but the court generally just didn't really want to get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, to your point, the court has been more cautious in the past. And that's the beauty about the court, is you can't actually get it overturned if you wait long enough.
And so, you know, I've been thinking about Citizens United this morning, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that it would have made a difference in this current election.
The thing is that when you look at the election cycles for the past four or five...
Okay, everybody, welcome back. That brief break was brought to you by the NSA and Pravda.
National Security Agency.
So we were talking about whether or not
right, and we were talking about whether or not Citizens United really matters. I mean, at least in terms of the spending and all that. And so, I mean, the interesting thing, of course, is that I'm pretty sure that Clinton had far more money than Trump.
Unless you take his supposed private funds into account. But yes, in terms of election spending, she grossly outspent Donald Trump.
Grossly outspent him, right? So, yeah, I don't see where Citizens United makes any difference at all.
You know, the thing that was interesting is I did find one place where it sounded like it made more of a difference. So this was an article in The New Yorker. I'm trying to actually be good and source my stuff.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
So the argument was it doesn't have much of an impact on presidential elections. The place where it can really have significant impact is that in 2/3 of the United States, judges are elected. And voters pay, I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as the next guy. Voters pay, generally speaking, very little attention to judicial elections.
Right.
So if you've got big corporations, and I want to point out that it's not just corporations that are impacted by Citizens United. They also cited unions. Citizens United also created a situation where unions can spend freely. So, right. You know, as a pro-union person, I don't think that's entirely evil. But I do recognize that corporations are generally going to be able to outspend any union on the planet.
That's true. But yeah, judicial elections, though, are their own anomaly. And I don't even know how you begin to fix what I consider to be a lot of problems with judicial elections. Because how are we even qualified to know?
Right. You well, know? And the point that the author of the New Yorker article was making is that when you look at judicial elections, corporations often have really big stakes in the outcomes. Like if there's a personal injury suit and a corporation is on the losing end of that suit, if they can change the flavor of the court, they could potentially change the outcome of a suit.
Sure, but I don't know. I don't know what it's like in Alaska, but in California, we do have judicial elections. And I'm here to tell you, every guy running to be a judge was a gang prosecutor. Crime prosecutor, right?
I would say that's generally speaking not the case in Alaska.
Well, but the reason they're going with that, right, is because that gives them the law and order thing, right?
Right.
Who knows if they were even actually prosecuting gang cases at the DA? They might have been. Who the hell knows?
Well, and the other thing is, quite truthfully, if you are just so caught up in the things that seem big, which are the presidential election and the Senate and the Congress, who the fuck has time to read about all these different judges? I mean, clearly, right. if the argument in the New Yorker is correct, clearly we should be paying attention. I mean, I was thinking about the Dakota Access Pipeline. I mean, if the judges in that case were elected, think about how much of an influence Big Oil as a corporation could have on the outcome of Dakota Access Pipeline rulings.
Right, but that one's going to get all the way up the chain to the high courts anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, as Donald Trump staffs the high court, stacks the high court, they're going to be fucked anyway.
Right. Yeah, see, that's a different... Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing that's really interesting is that the New Yorker author also made the point that conservatives are typically the ones who have this huge outcry about judicial activism, right?
Right. Yeah, because I have never seen such a group of little bitches going, they're doing this, they're doing this. No, you're doing it.
And so when you think about it, Citizens United creates a huge level of judicial activism if, in fact, big corporations are paying lots of money to get their judges elected.
Right. Well...
And if we're not paying attention and the most illuminating thing that we think we see is some ad by, say, Exxon, you know, that's undue influence, I think.
And it may very well be. I don't know.
It was just, it was interesting kind of digging into the ins and outs. And I do think that it...
Well, that's the point of this.
Right. It is the point of this. And like I said, that's why I use you guys to further my education.
Because one of the biggest problems we have in the United States, right, is this belief that somehow, oh, this shit's all, you know, black and white and there's no nuance. And no, I mean, you're talking about, you know, you were talking earlier before we started about free and fair elections, right?
Which we're definitely going to get into.
I mean, what is a free and fair election?
Right. I don't know that I have a great answer, even after doing a bunch of reading. I want to say one more thing, and then let's go into the fair and free elections, because it is part of the Wolfpack platform. So I just went ahead and looked at kind of the opposing view. I looked at an article that was published by the New York Post after the Citizens United ruling happened. And their author was like, oh, thank God, finally corporations are going to have protections that previously were only offered to, quote, obscene speech, nude dancing, and talk radio. And the author there basically was like, you know, corporations have been second-class citizens when you compare them to pornography and the aforementioned groups. So thank God they're finally first-class citizens. So talk about nuance. I mean, that's not particularly subtle, but I thought it was really interesting to read that from somebody's clearly different point of view from mine.
Yes, but the thing is that corporate entities are not citizens.
Well, you're right. Yes.
I mean, that's one thing I don't actually see any nuance on, right?
Yeah.
I work for a corporation. I, in fact, actually own one.
And it's Todd, the citizen, is not the same thing as the Atterbury Group.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a fiction is what it really is, you know? Corporations are people, my friend.
Right. I mean, that was the ultimate outcome of the ruling, right? Corporations and unions, in fairness, are people, at least in terms of the way they speak and spend in federal elections.
At least in comparison to pornography.
Well,
I don't even understand that, right?
You know, I think clearly the argument was going toward the conservative hook. You know, thank God Coca-Cola is finally being made equal to obscene speech, nude dancers, and talk radio. I mean, that's really what that was going for, but I thought still it was a very interesting glimpse into that perspective.
Right. Which, by the way, I don't necessarily believe that free speech is free. You know, there are consequences to it, and talk radio shouldn't be absolved of the consequences.
Right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh shouldn't be absolved of the consequence of referring to Sandra Fluke as a slut, because she is advocating for birth control. He should not be immune to those consequences.
Right.
I agree.
Well, you cannot walk into a crowded theater and yell fire.
Right. But damn it, depending on who the audience is, sometimes it's very tempting.
Oh, I just want to, by the way, Citizens United, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for these guys, and I just want to give you a brief rundown of other movies they've made, just so
Oh,
that we all
please do,
understand.
because I didn't look there, so.
ACLU at war with America. Celsius 41.11, where brains begin to die.
Oh my God.
Fast Terry, which apparently is a documentary, entirely accurate, I'm sure, on Terry McAuliffe, or Maluffy's McAuliffe's controversial business deals.
And that
Whoever.
was the former head of the Democratic Committee, or Democratic, the DNCC, the Democratic National Committee.
Occupy Unmasked. Which sounds more like it should have been a Bauhaus album, but. Rediscovering God in America. Rediscovering God in America 2, colon,
Because
our
the
heritage.
I was gonna say because the first one wasn't enough.
It's the colon thing that I always love. 2, colon. Subtitle, our heritage. And there's plenty of others, but Ronald Reagan, colon, rendezvous with destiny.
My
You know, so it just
God.
kind of gives you a feel for who these asshats really are and what they were doing before somehow they changed the fucking world.
And I would like to point out, lest anyone think we're equating Michael Moore with this group, because I'm actually not. His new movie, Trumpland, tried to be pretty fair to Trump voters. So just throwing it out there, I love you, Michael Moore. Probably because you confirm my outlook, but I love you, Michael Moore.
I'm ambivalent about Michael. I don't disagree with a lot of what he says, clearly, but you know.
So, now moving forward to Cenk Uygur, who I have mixed feelings about. Sometimes he's a little too screechy for me, and sometimes I really love the Young Turks. So he's behind a group called Wolfpack, www.wolf, like the animal, dash pac.com. And the way that he talks about Wolfpack on the Young Turks is that their goal is to overturn Citizens United. And they have a petition that to date has been signed by almost 200,000 people. And the statement on the petition is, "I support a constitutional amendment saying that corporations are not people and they do not have the right to spend money to buy our politicians." Which, when I looked at that, I was like, okay, that's really fucking vague. Yeah, corporations aren't people, but they don't have the right to spend money to buy our politicians. I'm not happy with the language, first of all. So then you go to their plan, and their ultimate goal, quote, "to restore true representative democracy in the United States by pressuring our state legislators to pass a much needed free and fair elections amendment to our Constitution." There are only two ways to amend our Constitution. One, go through the Congress, currently has single digit approval rating, or go through our state legislators via an amendment proposing a convention. So basically, if we get 34 states to say, yeah, we want to see this amendment, that triggers a constitutional convention. 38 states in the convention have to approve the amendment before it becomes law. So basically, what they're doing is pushing for us to have a constitutional convention about Citizens United. But then I tried to find what exactly they meant by fair and free elections, and I couldn't really figure it out from their website. So speak, oh great one. Tell me what a fair and free election is.
I don't know. I think it probably depends on where you're standing in the world, right? But I would start with the outcome. The outcome does not resemble something like Soviet Russia.
So I went to a page called Democracy Web. I mean, I just Googled what are free and fair elections. And this is Article 21 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has the right to take part in the government of his country directly or through freely chosen representatives. The will of the people shall be the basis of the authority of government. This will shall be expressed in periodic and genuine elections, which shall be universal, excuse me, which shall be by universal and equal suffrage and shall be held by secret vote or equivalent free voting procedures. So what does that mean? I mean, there are people who would argue that we do have a fair and free electoral process in this country because we are voting through freely chosen representatives.
And we
that,
do.
And that we have a secret vote in free voting procedures. I have issues with that last statement because the Republicans are actively working to block voters' rights. But...
Well, I mean, like, they're not perfect. There's plenty of voter repression out there, and it's something that needs to be worked on, too. But if you want to run, and we want to vote for you, that mechanism does exist in this country.
So then I wonder, are they trying to say that we need to have a direct election, which you and I have talked about in the past, and I think we both pretty much agree that's a great start to solving our problems.
Well, wait. What do you mean by direct election?
So I mean one person, one vote, screw this representative stuff. We have the technology, and Russia knows that, for us to each cast a vote and have those votes be counted in a timely fashion. So truly someone gets the lion's share of the vote, the actual majority of the vote. You're not elected 3 million votes shy because you won the Electoral College.
Well, okay, but arguably, though, the Electoral College is the only manifestation of that I am aware of in American politics. I mean, granted, it's a big one, right? But the truth is, you vote for your congressman, you vote directly for your senator, you vote directly for your mayor, your school board, all of that stuff.
So I will tell you that looking again at this particular site, and I don't know who's behind the site, I'm going to tell you that right there. The subtitle is Comparative Studies in Freedom. It could be anybody, but one of the things that they cited as a stumbling block toward free and fair elections in the United States is gerrymandering, which is true. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can gerrymander a district to the point where you and I don't have anybody that we would vote for.
Right. Right. Again, I'm not saying that there are not problems. Clearly, I feel like there are lots of problems. But I have a hard time getting to a point of saying, but we don't have free and fair elections in this country.
Which goes back to, you know,
real problem with that concept, because the truth is, I do believe we do. That's my truth.
And which goes back to me looking at Wolfpack and trying to figure out my relationship to Wolfpack. I need better definitions of the language that they're using.
I mean, if they want to oppose gerrymandering, I'm right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can fix that problem. You know, if we want to do something about the Electoral College, that would be fine with me too. If we want to get rid of the term limit amendments, because honestly, if you want to run and we want to vote for you, that would be democracy. Anything else is bullshit. You know, I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you want to get rid of the primaries, because why are we the people paying for that nonsense?
No shit.
You know. Yes, we have free and fair elections. You know, when you compare it to, say, I don't know, Libya, right? Cuba for the last, you know, half century, Putin's Russia. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, we don't have any place where, you know, somebody wins by 85%. Right.
I'm actually trying to think if that's true. I think maybe if you looked at really, really tiny districts or local elections, there might be some argument. But generally speaking, in terms of broad federal elections, no, we don't have that.
Right. Right. And despite the nonsense spewed by the Republicans when they thought that they weren't going to win, there is no voter fraud of any meaningful scale in this system.
Correct.
You know, that's pretty obvious, too.
And the crap that Donald Trump is saying about Hillary having a majority of the votes because millions of people voted twice or voted unfairly or whatever, that's bullshit.
We're busting from Mexico.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I would point out that this is the same guy who claims to have seen thousands of Muslims rioting in the streets of New Jersey celebrating 9/11.
Right.
you can't really take what the guy says as being true. Just saying. Putting it out there. I mean, you know, if we want to overturn corporate donations, okay, I suppose. I don't know. I mean,
You know, I've come away with it's not black or white, because do I want to, for the sake of overturning corporate donations, hinder already weakened unions?
And not everybody.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, and this is what we need to admit, right? The truth of the matter is that the rich have money to donate and the poor do not. So unless you're going to abolish all fundraising,
or
it's always going to be unfair. I mean, there is always going to be this huge advantage to the wealthy.
Or do what we have talked about in the past, which I guess is abolishing all fundraising. Get rid of private funding of campaigns. Each campaign gets a chunk of money from the federal government, and that's it, period, end of paragraph. You don't get any more money. You better make it worthwhile.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have to do something about the bigger issue is inequality, right? And that's why everybody's so freaked out about Citizens United, because it's inequality. It's saying that my voice is less important than the voice of, say, Rex Tillerson and Exxon.
Actually, it's not saying that, right? It's saying that Exxon's voice is as important as yours.
That's fair. Okay, I will take the correction. That's fair. But it's saying that Exxon, as a private corporation, has the same voice that I have.
As a voice, right? Which,
that's debatable.
Corporations are not friends. They're not people. Yeah. You know? They're things, and I don't understand how things all of a sudden get rights.
So, you know, I'm kind of coming away with this. I feel like I have a clearer understanding of where Citizens United came from. And a clearer understanding of what it does. And especially, I do agree with the arguments about the importance in terms of federal judicial elections. But I don't know how I feel about it. And I don't know how I feel about what I previously thought was a great thing, which is the Wolf Pack and the idea of pushing free and fair elections through a constitutional convention. Again, if I had a better definition of what that meant, I might support it better.
Right.
But
yeah, the problem is that free and fair elections are like pornography.
Right. You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it.
So, you know,
American democracy is messy. That's the point of American democracy, though.
Right.
This is advanced democracy, you know? It is complicated. It is ugly. It's stupid a lot of the times.
I fear that it's advanced democracy to the point of elderly and crumbling democracy, but I don't know. This week has freaked me out, man. Every week since November 8th has freaked me out. So I don't know. Come on, people, tell us what you think of Citizens United. I'm not sure. I'm totally. I think they're. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I think generally it's not a great ruling. I think that maybe if the ruling was more pure and they were just talking about corporations and not talking about unions and quote other organizations. That's also the thing I forgot to mention. Other organizations.
Right, that would be nonprofits, NGOs,
right,
and everything
how do you
else.
Define that?
Right, but how can you not? But I mean, the point, the reason it's so broad is if you've decided to go that direction, you can't limit the speech on anybody.
Right, exactly.
So that's why it's everybody. And that's fine, right? I mean, you know, so the KKK, if they have nonprofit status, you know, is free to, you know, raise money and spend it however they want. But that's America. That's America, right?
Well, and I think the thing that it goes back to, and the thing that I'm understanding in terms of it being a bad thing, is that it just promotes inequality, because whoever has the most money has the loudest voice.
Well, that's true.
But that's been true. That's been true all along, whether the Supreme Court rules on it
exactly.
or not. Because really, all I see Citizens United as is we're limiting that specific time frame within which you can use your money to influence elections.
Right.
And I don't even see what that specific time frame is. It just says shortly before a federal primary or a federal general election.
And if we eliminate the primaries, then we'll eliminate part of that debate anyway.
I am most definitely not a constitutional law scholar. I actually have a friend who is, and I probably need to tap her brain.
Well, I just want to point out that the primaries are not called for anywhere in any constitutional document at the state or the federal level. The primaries are just something the parties have put together.
It's another way to spend our money.
To help them, which doesn't help us, right?
Right. Yeah, so
you know, and it's one of the things people get confused about with the primaries, like how can they be closed or whatever. Well, it is for a specific party, right? The fact that some of the states have actually forced them open and stuff is actually something I'm sure will get litigated at some point in the not too distant future. Because the primaries, you know, the parties would argue this is to pick somebody in the Republican or the Democratic or the Green or the whatever party. You know, and if you're not a member of that party, why should you have the ability to vote in that primary?
But it's okay because Americans can just keep watching Donald Trump's Twitter account and the latest episode of The Celebrity Apprentice.
Fortunately, by the way, apparently Schwarzenegger and that just bombed, so hopefully that'll be going on. Because, you know, and you're going to get to somebody who really does deserve fuck that guy, but I just want to say, hey, NBC, you said you weren't going to do any more business with this fucker, and yet he's the executive producer on the show that you guys have, so you're doing business with him.
This fucker being fuck Donald Trump, wrong? Just so people know.
Right, so what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. So all right. Hate mail to Brian Williams, care of the 11th hour on MSNBC.
Care of who gives a shit.
So we had talked about retiring fuck that guy. I just can't let go of fuck that guy because somebody
always steps up who just really deserves to have their names dragged through the mud.
You know, and I am going to say left-wing, adorable son of Robert F. Kennedy Sr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., met this week with Donald Trump to become his vaccine czar. So let's just put this out there. RFK Jr. has been a conspiracy buff about immunizations for a long time. Yes, this is a callback to our first episode, Go Big or Go Home. He basically says that thimerosal, which is a preservative that was used in vaccines, is responsible for autism. Now, I will point out that most vaccines, I think the flu vaccine is the only one that is not. Most vaccines now are single dose, which means there is no preservative. People are not getting any doses of thimerosal. And guess what? We're still seeing autism.
But, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it's being diagnosed at higher rates than ever. RFK is one of the guys that says that vaccines cause autism. And he met with Donald Trump this week, who Donald Trump is also being advised by Andrew Wakefield. Do you remember who Andrew Wakefield is?
No.
He's that piece of shit British doctor who has since lost his license.
Oh, that's right.
Who published the now discredited, largely falsified study indicating that there was a link between vaccines and autism. So Donald Trump has been flirting with the anti-vax people for a long time. And now RFK Jr. actually came out of this meeting this week saying that he would be basically heading this new government agency to look at the safety of vaccines.
So, once again, just so we're all clear, the party of small government is about to create yet another federal agency.
And let's also be clear that there is already...
It's called the FDA.
There are already two federal agencies that look at this. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program and Vaccines for Children Program. So they already look at vaccine safety. The CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices looks at vaccine safety. So there are actually three federal agencies that look at whether or not vaccines are safe. Donald Trump already has those in place. He doesn't need two vaccine deniers to advise him. Robert Kennedy Jr. did come out of the meeting with Donald Trump saying that he would be heading up this group. The transition team immediately backtracked. And now we don't really know what the status is. So,
because that's, you know, and again, this is the thing with the Trump administration. This is what it's going to be like, period, right? Oh, yeah, we're going to, no, wait, what? Yeah, we are, no.
We never said that.
We never said that we are going to, in fact, yeah, we did. Of course we didn't say that. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go back and get further clarification on something. Completely unrelated to the question that you asked me, but I'd be happy to get back to you tomorrow with an answer related to something else.
And thank that's you. Fake news, so I'm not answering your question.
Fake news, fake news, fake news.
And now a word from Kellyanne Conway. Just look in his heart. Don't listen to what comes out of his mouth. Which, by the way, if you're not caught up on the news, those last two things about fake news and Kellyanne Conway, not bullshit, actually happened this week.
Real news. Yep. Yeah. Although, okay, like, we're back to it is fake that Donald Trump likes to be pissed on, right?
It is unverified that Donald Trump likes to be pissed
rapidly
on.
Unverified.
So here's the really, really interesting thing, because I've been doing some reading about that, too. So, for people who do or don't know, this dossier was dropped by BuzzFeed at the beginning of the week.
And it's written by some former MI6 spook who has gone into hiding.
Right. But I will say, so yes, this guy is a former MI5 spy who has built a pretty credible reputation doing opposition research. And so this dossier that was dropped by BuzzFeed was part of opposition research that he was hired to do by a Republican campaign early in the election cycle. When it became clear that Donald Trump was going to have the nomination, he started being funded by a Democratic campaign, which shall remain anonymous. I couldn't imagine who that would be. But he puts, this dossier was basically his notes on different compromising things, financial and sexual, that were purportedly associated with Donald Trump's time in Russia. CNN reported on it after BuzzFeed dumped it. CNN did not dump the dossier, but they basically said, look, this is out there. This has been looked at by the intelligence community. Donald Trump was briefed on it. Barack Obama was briefed on it. We don't know how legit it is or not, but this is what's happening. Well, that got conflated to CNN saying that this document was God's truth and Donald Trump should be impeached because of it. And so Trump refused to take any questions from Jim Acosta, CNN's representative, at the presser this week.
Right.
It's really convoluted, but basically, it's out there. It's been out there for a long time. David Korn actually reported on it on October 31st, before the election. It sounds like this dossier has been circulating in D.C. for several months prior to the election. It sounds like it's still unverified, but the guy who wrote it has a good reputation in the intelligence community. And yeah, now he's on the run. He's in hiding. And he told David Korn he wanted to remain anonymous because of fears for himself and fears for his sources.
From the Clinton hit... Wait.
No, it actually was from the Trump hit machine. So, you know, I mean, the bottom line is...
It gets so hard to keep all the conspiracies straight.
The bottom line is there's probably some truth and a lot of bullshit in it.
Yeah.
And it was known about for months before the election happened.
I mean,
I don't care if Donald Trump is getting pissed on or watching people piss on each other or whatever. What's more interesting to me is, what are the financial allegations? What are the allegations in terms of his financial connections to Russia?
And why is it already in the works to have a sit down with Putin?
Right. And why did his... Was it It's one of his nominees. I can't remember right now offhand which one it was. It was one of his military nominees. 5 calls to Putin the day that Obama introduced sanctions against the Russians for the election hacking. 5 fucking phone calls documented.
Yeah, and but you know what those all were, right?
Well, They were all Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. No, that is totally what the Trump transition team is saying right now. Oh, well, they're just friends and he was just wishing him a happy holidays. I am not kidding you. This is not Alex Jones shit. I am not making this shit up.
Just what a bunch of fucking wankers. Because just be honest, yeah, we were telling Putin to just wait it out.
Which is pretty much what they were doing. I mean, I agree. And that's legit, right? Okay, we all know that Barack Obama is going away in less than a week. And his sanctions are going away.
Yeah, regardless of what I feel about Putin or Trump or anything, Trump will have the ability to do this legally. So, I mean, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Ugh! I'm sorry. I am completely ranting. The news really did make me a little nuts this week.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I gotta be honest. I'm so busy, and I'm enjoying being so busy that I don't have time to get too completely upset about all this shit anymore, because I would spend all my life getting upset about this shit.
I'm actually a place where I turn it off a lot sooner than I did, which is healthy. Yeah, I'm at a place where I turn Facebook off a lot sooner than I did.
Right, and for all you people... Yeah, for all you people out there listening to us still, thank you, we love you,
but,
you know, probably once every 2 weeks is more than enough of our shit, too.
And I still think we've got to get away from election and politics and all of that for a little bit. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I miss our one-offs. We did some really good one-offs.
I think we really do need to go back to vaccinations again.
Yeah, you know.
And do some really in-depth stuff there, so that'll be coming shortly. I mean, the problem is, as we've observed many, many times on this podcast, everything is politics.
Right.
I mean, I can give you all the facts in the world about vaccinations, but, you know, if Donald Trump just appointed a couple of fucking tools to head up some fucking vaccination committee, which is ultimately likely to determine that, no, autism is caused by climate change, which doesn't exist, and therefore vaccinations can't kill polar bears. But they do cause autism.
Brought to you by Alex Jones.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, the problem is that we can argue the facts as much as we want, and it won't. If you truly believe that autism is caused by vaccinations, then there's probably nothing we can do for that. But all we can try to do is just educate people who are willing to be educated. And I think we probably need to touch on that one again.
Well, you know, and the truth is, I have not read The Art of the Deal. I don't plan to, but there's a quote going around supposedly from The Art of the Deal where Donald Trump said, if you just repeat something three times, people will believe it as truth. And I think
there is truth to that.
We're all susceptible to it.
Oh, yeah.
So holding ourselves accountable to truth.
What is it, Barnum? You know, if you tell a big enough lie, everybody will believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway. Anyway, no, this has been good. This has been a lot of fun. You know, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk about pissing on polar bears or...
After we vaccinate them.
After we vaccinate them.
Not that they'll be protected.
Yeah, exactly. After we've decided on a course of action to cause autism in polar bears. God. The girl pleads. The woman needs a wedding ring.